Well, welcome everyone to this last Lord's Day morning service of the year 2020. A bit of a slushy day outside, or snowy for those who live on higher ground. The announcements, there's not many announcements for this week. This evening, our service is an hour earlier than usual. That's at 6:30 rather than 7:30. And that's because of the one-week-long curfew that we're in at the minute, which means that we're supposed to be home by 8 o'clock at night. So the evening service is at 6:30 this evening. That's our last service of the year. Not able to have our usual end-of-year praise service, so it will be a more normal type of evening service tonight. Sabbath school pupils, there are book tokens. It should be a book token on your seat today. We didn't have our family night in December this year, where the prizes are normally given out. So those have been book tokens have been got, and those have been set out today. Next Lord's Day, God willing, morning service here at 12. There's no Sabbath school next week, and then the evening service should be at 7:30, our normal time. The offerings arrangements for 2021 just continue on as you have been doing. Whatever you've been doing over these last number of months, just continue on the same into 2021. This is the last day for anything you want to give for the leprosy mission or for Tear Fund. So just put that in the plate, whatever door you come in today. And then just a reminder about magazine orders for 2021. There's no announcement in particular about that, but just to alert you to that, that the month of January is the month for paying for the Covenant or Witness Messenger and Bulwark. And might be a good idea to pay early in the year. There's no guarantee that we will be able to continue to meet. Hopefully we will, but earlier would be preferable. So I can try to get an announcement on that for next Lord's Day, first Lord's Day of 2021. So welcome all who are here in the church hall, and those are in through in the church building. We have some able to be here today who wouldn't normally be here, and welcome you all to this service of worship. We'll begin our worship then in joining together in prayer. So if you're able, please stand now as we come to God in prayer. Lord, our Father, we thank you that on this last Lord's Day of the year, that many are able to come together to these church buildings and gather in for this service of worship. And we thank you for how this testifies to your faithfulness to us in the midst of a year full of troubles and difficulties. We thank you for the measure of health that we have that enables us to gather in today. We thank you for your safekeeping when the roads have been slushy and snowy in places this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your great faithfulness throughout this year. And we recognize, O Lord, that your hand has been upon us. And we praise you for the many bad things that you've spared us from, and for the help that you've given us to get through times that have been difficult and testing. We pray, Lord, that as we come together now, that you'll be pleased to speak to us through your word. Thank you that in the scriptures we can read of the experiences of others who have been through times of difficulty. And we pray that what they have written down will continue to be a blessing to your people throughout the world in all the ages in which we live. We praise you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that he has done and all that he continues to do. Help us to look to him today. May our confidence be in him, and may our hope of salvation be in him. And we pray, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, you will bless this time of worship, that all will benefit from gathering here. We ask all now with the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us read together from God's Word. If you'll turn, please, to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, and to chapter 77 in the book of Psalms. I want to read the words of Psalm 77 in our Church Pew Bible. It's page 520. That's where it starts and goes over the page. So let us hear this, the Word of God. I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and He gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will He be favorable no more? Has His mercy ceased forever? Has His promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my anguish. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you. They were afraid. The depths also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Your arrows also flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And so reads God's own true word. Now, a few words to the younger ones that are here today. I wonder when you're reading a story, do you like to know how the story ends before you start into that story? Some people do that. They like to read the last few pages of a book before they start reading into the story, and they can read the whole book then, and they can remember how it's going to end up. Well, very soon we're going to be at the start of a new year, and we won't be able to read in advance how it's going to all end up. And this time last year, we probably wouldn't have guessed what 2020 was going to be like. Now, the Bible teaches us that God knows the end from the beginning. God knows all that's going to happen in every single year that there ever will be. And that's because what happens in this world is His story. God wrote it, and He remembers what He wrote, so He knows what's coming. And the Lord Jesus was the Son of God, and when He came into this world, He knew what He was coming for. He knew what the story said. He knew how the script ran. And Jesus knew the end from the beginning. He knew that in the end He would be crucified. That wasn't a surprise to Him. And when you know what's coming, it can make things all the harder. Sometimes we realize what a blessing it was in life to not have known what was coming. Jesus didn't have that. Jesus knew what was coming. Now, we don't know what's going to happen in 2021. There may be bad days ahead, and there may be good days ahead. But we need to trust in the Lord, because He knows what's coming. And because He knows what's coming, He knows what we need for what is coming. And so as we head rapidly towards the beginning of 2021, let's be thankful that God knows the end from the beginning. Now we're going to come to God in prayer. And so if you're able now to stand as we come to God, let us pray. Lord in heaven, we praise You that You are the Lord God Almighty, that You're the one who has written all that will ever take place in this world. We praise You that You have Your appointed times for Your appointed events to take place. And we rejoice, O Lord, that there was a day appointed when the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Savior, would come to this world. We thank You that there was a day appointed when He would die upon the cross. And we thank You for all of us that there are appointed times for all the events of our lives. We praise You that You have appointed the times in history when the shape of the world changes in terms of the political setup of things. We return thanks for the agreement that has been made between the United Kingdom and the European Union. And we pray that in the outworking of all of that, that it will prove to be something that will be beneficial rather than a hindrance and a nuisance. Lord, we pray that You in Your mercy would use this for the advance of the gospel rather than for the hindrance of the gospel. We return thanks to You, Lord, for our health service. We praise You, O God, for all that has been done in the past year in the midst of very trying circumstances. We praise You, Lord, for many people who have been cared for and provided for. We thank You for many who have been helped through very serious times of illness. We pray for Your ongoing help for those who are busy providing care and treatment for those who are not well. And we ask, Lord, that You will continue to grant progress in the rolling out of vaccines and the approval of vaccines, and we pray that this will make a big difference in the weeks and months to come. We thank You, Lord, for how You have provided work for many in our congregation over this past year and sustained that work. And we thank You for Your goodness and faithfulness when many have been laid off and people have lost their jobs and people haven't been able to find jobs. We thank You, Lord, for how for so many folk You have answered their prayers and provided for them in terms of employment. We remember those not able to be with us today in the church hall or church building. We pray for those who are at home, and we ask, Lord, for them, for Your strength and for patience for them as they wait for better days. We pray for those who are vulnerable. We ask for Your protective hand upon them. We remember Alice Stevenson in the care home in Ballycastle, and we pray for her that she will keep well, that she will be well looked after there. And Lord, we pray for Your mercies towards her and to her family circle. We pray, O Lord, for some who have been in and out of hospital in recent times, and we thank You for Tom Hill and the surgery that he had and how timely that was. We thank you for the good recovery that he's been making and ask that you'll continue to watch over him. We pray for Raymond, who's been in and out of hospital a few times, and we pray for him as he's due to go soon again. We pray that all will go well with that. We remember also William Lockridge and many hospital visits that he's had over this past number of months, and we do pray that you will grant him a time of better health, sustained health, that he may be able to gather with us again for worship, and we pray for his wife Margaret also. We remember those ministers at present who are under call. Pray for Philip Dunwoody and for Kenneth Stewart as they consider the calls they have to Drumore and to Loch Brickland. And we pray that in these days, Lord, that you would be pleased to lead them by whatever way you see fit, and that they will come to a decision about which they will have peace. Remember our missionaries. We pray that you help them in these days of the holiday period. We pray for them as they prepare for the new year, not knowing exactly what's going to be possible. We pray for the work in Malaga, in Nantes, and in Galway. We pray that you'll keep our missionaries in good health. We pray for their children, that they also will keep well, and we pray that there will be many good things that they will see you doing in the months ahead. We give thanks, Lord, for another wedding that's planned to take place here in Karatz in the year to come. And we pray for Rebecca and for Philip and their preparations for the wedding in August. And we do pray, O Lord, that when it comes to that time of year, that things will be much more favorable in terms of making the arrangements for the wedding celebrations. And Lord, we pray that you will surround them with your care, and that they will be able to make good preparations for their future married life. Lord, we look to you now. We ask that you will bless your word to us, and watch over us, O Lord, today in our comings and goings. May we know your presence and your help, and we pray all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we look to the chapter of the scriptures that was read earlier, book of Psalms, Psalm 77. I congratulate all of you today. You've made it to the last Lord's Day of 2020. And it's been a year, no doubt, for all of us that will stick in our memories. A select few, perhaps, will have some very good things to recall in 2020, and it will be a highlight of your life. But even those who have special times to look back upon, such as those who got married in Karatz in 2020 and who happen to be here today, even those events were surrounded in lots of uncertainty, and plans had to be adjusted and amended according to what the latest regulations were. For many people, the year 2020 will be a year that they would really rather forget than remember. And no doubt there'll be many people who are wishing they could just wake up and find that it had all been a bad dream. And so on this final Lord's Day of the year 2020, I want to speak on Psalm 77. And I think this is a suitable psalm with which to end a troubled year. So I'm giving this the title, A Psalm for a Troubled Year. And as you'll see, it's a psalm written by a man called Asaph. That's there in the title. And as you can see in the words with which the psalm opens, here's a man who had his own troubles. And so I want to speak, first of all, in the opening six verses, speaking about days of trouble. The six verses at the start of the psalm provide us with a good picture of the mood of Asaph as he writes these words. He tells us in verse 1 of how he has cried out to God and how he believes that God listened to him, God gave ear to him. And he wasn't crying out for joy, but he was crying out in distress. He says so in verse 2. He says, "In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord." And although he refers to the day of his trouble, the impression we get from this psalm is not just that here's a man having a bad day, but rather he's had many bad days. Bad day after bad day after bad day. He's living through a time of trouble, a time of distress. And his circumstances are a great burden to him. These things weigh heavily upon him. He isn't just troubled by it all. He says in verse 3 that he is overwhelmed. And when you're overwhelmed by something, well then it's all just got to be too much for you. And this is how it is for the man who writes this psalm. All the things that are going on in his life, they are very, very difficult, and it is simply overwhelming for him. And in his overwhelmed sleeplessness, he refers to his eyelids being open in verse 4. He recalls as he lies in his bed, he thinks about earlier times in his life. He calls them, in verse 5, the days of old, the years of ancient times. And he's remembering his earlier life experiences. He's remembering better days. He's remembering days when he wasn't crying out to God in distress, but when there's a song upon his heart and a song upon his lips. And he remembers these things, and they really don't help at all. They just make it worse. The brightness and the light that he remembers from the past simply make the darkness of the present seem even more dark. Things look all the more bleak when he remembers those good days. Those days when he was able to do what he wanted to do. Days full of rejoicing. And so these opening six verses are expressing the troubles that the psalmist is experiencing. And if you read through those six verses, you'll see that the words that come up again and again, the word "I" and the word "my." These verses, they're all about him, all about the psalmist. And he cannot see beyond himself. His horizon ends at his horizon is at the end of his nose. That's as far as he can see. He's not thinking about anybody else. He's not thinking about the people of God as a whole, or the world, or anything like that. It's all about himself, and there isn't much hope when he thinks only about himself. And here's a man, and he's wondering, can he really take any more of this? He feels that he is utterly at the end of his tether. And maybe the only good thing is that he does believe that God is listening to him, because he says that at the start of the psalm. He gave ear to me. And when you're troubled, and when you're in great distress, and when you're overwhelmed by what has come at you in life, well, it's good if you know that there's someone who's going to listen to you. And that may be the opportunity of Christian witness for many of God's people in the months to come. There are many people who are distressed and troubled. Many people who have suffered greatly during this past year. And they need someone to listen. to listen so they can put into words the feelings that are churning them up inside day after day after day. There are many people who are overwhelmed, and a listening ear can make all the difference in their lives, and that can be a ministry that any Christian person can have by the grace of God in the times to come. Well, in the opening six verses of this psalm, we read of days of trouble. Then I want to move on to verses 7 to 9, which are about questioning God. When Jennifer and I got married back in 1991, one of the people that made a speech at our wedding reception was my brother Graham. And he alerted Jennifer to something that she needed to expect in the days to come. And she told her that he told her that if she was in the house, and as far as she knew, there was just Jennifer and myself in the house, and I was in some other room in the house, and she heard me talking to someone, he told her not to worry because I would just be talking to myself. And then he told her if he heard a different voice answering me, not to worry because that would just be me putting on a different voice and answering myself. Well, I hadn't realized that not everybody does that, but apparently that is the case. Apparently you don't all go around with conversations between Prince Charles and Kim Jong-un or whoever it might be, the Queen and Jerry Adams and what they might be saying to each other. But Jennifer was warned that that might happen, and I think it probably has a few times. But normally when people ask questions, they only do that if they think someone is listening. Hence, I feel the need to answer my own questions. And Asaph, the psalmist here, he is asking questions. And he's asking questions because he believes someone's listening to his questions. And the questions are all directed towards God. His questions are all about how God has been handling things. And look at the questions that he asks, verses 7 to 9. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And those questions show us how this man is feeling. And he feels that he is a man who has been cast off. He feels that he is a man utterly out of favor with God. He is outside of the mercy of God. He's outside of the grace of God. He's outside of the tender mercies of God. And he feels as if God's promises really don't count for anything in real life. They're nice to read about, but when it comes to real life, what are they actually worth? That's how he feels. That's how life feels to this man at the time that he's writing. And he doesn't pretend that it's anything other than that. He doesn't try to say all the right things in his prayer, to use all the right phrases and to dress things up nicely. He just says it like it is. He tells God what is on his heart. And he tells God that he doesn't think much of the way God has been dealing with things. He is honest before God. And the Lord Jesus was honest before God. Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's how he felt. And as he felt, that is how he expressed himself. And that's what Asaph does here. These are the things that he feels in verses 7 to 9. I wonder, do you ever do that yourself? I wonder if you've done that in the midst of 2020. Have you expressed your frustrations to God? When it it really hasn't looked as if God has been remembering his people with special favor. Have you wondered at times how it can be that you could go off to an off-license and buy whatever you wanted, but you couldn't go to a worship service at certain times in our past year? What about the small-scale Christian grocer? A man who keeps his shop closed on the Sabbath day to honor the Lord, and he looks at what's happening in the country, and he sees all the little shops are closed down, and the big supermarkets who don't care about the Lord's Day, and some of them promote anti-Christian lifestyles, and they're open, and they're getting all the customers. And it doesn't feel as if God is thinking of him, his situation, and his needs. Has it not been hard to see at times in what way God has been directing and governing all things for the well-being of the church? Church has been seen as something that is not essential in the eyes of many governments. Well, Asaph was full of questions. Couldn't see how things made sense. Couldn't see how God was really doing a good job at being God in Asaph's world. Didn't feel as if God was delivering on his promises. Asaph knew the promises were there. But where was the fulfillment of those promises? It felt as if God's manifesto promises were just being abandoned. As if God was a politician, and he just did what suited him, rather than what he'd said he was going to do. Where is God when you need him? Is what Asaph is saying. That's what he's feeling in his heart. And he really does not like the times that he is living in. I wonder how many times you've felt that in 2020. I really don't like these circumstances. Well, Asaph brings all of that to God. These questions are here. Here they are in the Bible. God has caused them to be written down, part of the scriptures. These are part of our book of praises that God has given to us. Because God knew that Asaph wouldn't be the only person who would be thinking these kind of thoughts. And God knows that our struggles need to be put into words. We need to express ourselves. Our troubles that are felt within us need to be vocalized. And God is big enough to deal with all our questions, and he is able to answer them in the way that is best. So in verses 7 to 9, we have questioning God. God can cope with being questioned. Then the remaining verses in the psalm are about remembering the right things. Asaph tells us in the closing verses what helped him in the midst of all his troubles. And he has written earlier in the psalm about how when he tried remembering better days, that didn't help him at all. That was counterproductive. But he goes on to tell us that it was a different kind of remembering that was what actually did help. And this is what he's writing about in verses 10 to 12. He says, "But I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds." And see, here he's remembering. But he's not remembering the things that he used to do in the past or the highlights of his life to date. He's not getting out his old photograph albums and looking at things that bring back memories of what he had been involved in. But instead, he's remembering what God has done. And he's remembering what God had done before Asaph had even been in this world. That's what he's remembering. And in his remembering, he's going away back to the time of the Exodus. And he recalls how in those days God had worked wonderful, wonderful things. God had worked wonders. And he recalls how in the days of the Exodus, God had remembered the promises that he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God had brought the descendants of Abraham out of Egypt, and he did it with a powerful demonstration of his might. Asaph says in verse 15, "You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph." And the great and the mighty workings of God in bringing his people out of their captivity in Egypt, these things are described in poetic language in verses 16 to 19. And Asaph talks about the whole creation trembling and shaking. Talks about the wind and the rain and the thunder and the lightning as God opens up his way in the sea and his path in the great waters. And God is in charge of all the noise and the thunder and the lightning and the wind and everything. And God opens up the sea in an incredible way. And God did a wonderful thing in those days, Asaph remembers. And God was keeping his promise. God had promised that he would bring those people back from Egypt to the land that he had promised to them. And God did it. And he didn't do it in some mundane way, but he did it in the most spectacular and unforgettable of ways. And there was no one who passed through the Red Sea with the mighty walls of water on each side of them who would ever have thought anything but that God has done this. Silly 20th and 21st century theologians might try to explain the miracle of the Exodus away, but the people that walked through the ground with the sea on either side, they knew the reality of it. What a time that was for those Israelites who had been oppressed in Egypt. And what a good time it was for Asaph to remember. Those are the days that he remembered. And what were those days like for the Israelites? The Israelites were oppressed. They were enslaved. And would the Israelites in those terrible days, would they not have been thinking the very thoughts that Asaph is thinking in verses 7 to 9? Would they not have felt as if they were cast off? Would they not have felt as if they were forgotten by God? Would they not have been saying, "Has his promise failed forevermore?" Would they not have been thinking to themselves, "Where now is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Where is God when you need him? Where is he in our experience?" And those Israelites, they hadn't just had a few bad days or a few bad weeks or months. They had many bad years to endure. But God hadn't forgotten them. And God did come to their rescue. And God brought them out in a mighty deliverance. And Asaph remembered that. And when he remembered what God had done in times like that, it gave him hope for his times and his situation. And he remembered also that God didn't just do the miraculous and the extraordinary for his people in those days, but he did a much more ordinary thing for them as well, because he provided Moses and Aaron to lead the people. Verse 20, "You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." And God can do the mighty and the miraculous things, but he can do the ordinary things very well too. And when there is a flock of God that needs to be led, God is able to raise up the shepherds that are needed. And we live in times when the number of vacancies within our denomination is rising and rising, and rising. But God is able to provide the Moseses and the Aarons to lead his people. Asaph remembered what God had done and what he needed to do in the midst of his troubled times was to remember what God had done in an earlier troubled time. And that's what we need to do in our troubled times. We need to remember what God did for his people in sending his son Jesus into this world. There's over 400 years of silence between the end of the Old Testament and the coming of Christ into the world. It didn't look as if God was doing much or anything, and he wasn't saying anything new. But God's appointed time came. And Jesus, the Son of God, did come into this world. And he showed by the wonders that he did exactly who he was. And the wind obeyed him, and the waves obeyed him, and the waters obeyed him, even as they did at the time of the Exodus. And Jesus showed himself to be the Son of God, demonstrated his powers, and Jesus redeemed his people. And that great work of redemption has been done. Christ has died, he has risen, he has ascended to the right hand of God on high. And he reigns, and he will return as the judge of all the earth. And we need to remember not the better days in our lives, but we need to remember what Jesus Christ has done. And we need to trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation, and we must trust in him as the one who will lead us through all the troubles of our lives. We are not alone if we are Christians. We have the Good Shepherd to lead us in all our ways. And in following our Good Shepherd, there may often be very difficult ground for us to go across. And it might seem as if that difficult ground is lasting a lot longer than we would want it to last. But if we will keep on following the Good Shepherd, we will see in the end that he knew where he was going. He knew where he was leading us. And we will be forever glad that we followed the Shepherd rather than going our own way. There was an easier way to go, but it wasn't his way. And there's an easier way for you to go in life than to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It's much easier to do your own thing than to do his thing. But if you don't follow the Good Shepherd, you'll not end up where the Good Shepherd ends up. Now, you can't have any hope of being with the Lord unless you follow the Lord. And when you're troubled in this life, and when you're troubled in this world, and when you feel overwhelmed, as Asaph in his day felt overwhelmed, the thing to do is to remember the works of the Lord. Remember the works of the Lord. That's what Asaph says. I will remember, verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely, I will remember your wonders of old. Remember the works of the Lord. Keep on doing that. Keep on doing that until he comes or calls. A psalm for a troubled year. Amen. Well, we'll sing part of the psalm, and the tune that we sing to will be Petersham, number 186, Psalm 77. We will be remaining seated to sing, and the presenter role has been pre-recorded. That will be played through the speakers, and you can sing along to the verses. The verses we'll sing will be 6 to 11, the tune Petersham 186. And here's the questions in stanza 6. Forever will the Lord reject and favor show no more. Forever has his mercy ceased, his word failed evermore. Could it be so that God the Lord forgotten has his grace, or has he in his anger made his tender mercies cease? And then I said, it's because of this that I have grief. The right hand of the one most high has changed in my belief. The Lord's works I remember well, your wonders past recall. I meditate upon your work and on your great deeds all. And we sing from 6 down to 11, remaining seated to sing, and then afterwards I close the service in the benediction.
Forever will the Lord reject and favor show no more. Forever has his mercy ceased, his word failed evermore. Could it be so that God the Lord forgotten has his grace, or has he in his anger made his tender mercy cease? And then I said, it is because of this that I have grief. The right hand of the one most high has changed in my belief. The Lord's works I remember well, your wonders past recall. I'll meditate upon your work and on your great deeds all. O God, most holy is your way. What God like God is great. You are the God who wonders works. All peoples know your might. You have redeemed your people, Lord. With your strong arm have you redeemed the sons of Jacob, all the sons of Joseph too.
I receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.